Welcome to the Fire Up Coaching Podcast, your number one podcast all about the amazing world of coaching. Listen in as this internationally recognized and one of Australia's leading coaching companies share over 20 years of coaching experience and knowledge. We chat with fascinating individuals that will inspire you, industry leaders that will amaze you, and take a look at the current research and trends in coaching to inform you, all to help you ignite the potential within. Get ready to learn, laugh, and level up with our thought-provoking podcast and join us in making the world a better place using the power of coaching and the art of the conversation. Welcome, listeners. Welcome back to Fire Up Coaching's podcast. And this week we have a special episode. We're going to talk all about business and a couple of tips if you're out there trying to start your own coaching business. First of all, to kick off, I'd like to do an acknowledgement to country. I'd like to begin by acknowledging and paying my respects to the traditional custodians of the lands on which we're gathered here today. I'd like to pay my respects to their elders, past, present, and emerging, and acknowledge all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders listening today. Also paying my respects to your elders, past, present, and emerging. Now, if you've studied with us at any stage over the last quite a number of years, you may have met the guest that we are interviewing today. He's an amazing facilitator. He's one of our lead trainers at Fire Up Coaching. He's an absolute stellar person, fantastic knowledge, and he has got a really strong and deep background in the world of business. He is our business specialist at FireUp, and today we're going to ask him some questions that can help you build and develop your business. You've probably guessed by now, we are talking about the amazing Craig Levitt. So welcome, Craig. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks so much, Steve. Great to be here. It is a beautiful Monday.
Yeah, it is, and it's a great way to start the week. Today, I'd like to pick your brain a little bit. All about business. Now, I know that you have a really diverse business background and you are our business specialist. So today I'd like to get a couple of questions to you that might help some people that are looking to start their own coaching business, because I know a lot of our participants that complete our course go on to working for a business, but then a lot also want to start their very own business. I'd like to just get my head around all these changes that we've had over the last few years and things like that. I'd like to hear an expert's view on what they can do in that space. So I guess the first kind of question I'd like to ask you is, how have you seen the landscape? Has that changed? Or what have you seen over the last couple of years?
I think, Steve, there's some important principles, I suppose, in coaching or establishing your own business. I'll talk a little bit from a marketing perspective. So my background's marketing. I spent 30 years in marketing. And some things change and some things stay the same. Okay. The thing that's changed is the media. That's really been the most significant change over the last, 5-10 years, and probably particularly even over the last 2 years, particularly since we've been in COVID. It's how am I actually getting my message across, and also how am I actually engaging with my clients? So I think we'll be finding a lot more coaches would be actually coaching via Zoom these days than actually coaching online. And it does bring in a different dynamic when you're actually coaching over the internet, or even, as I said to you, marketing a little bit differently. And so that, I think, have been the major changes. The other thing too is, we are starting to see, particularly the ICF released a global awareness study from 2021, just recently, and there's no question there is increasing awareness around coaching, and there is an increasing demand for coaching. And so that's what we're starting to see from a market perspective. And I think that's because COVID's created a lot of questions for people. Is this really what I want to do going forward from a career perspective, et cetera? And so people are starting to ask questions. And naturally, when they start to ask questions, then the opportunity exists for a coach to step in and help them. So that's how I would say, on the one hand, from marketing your business, the media and the way we're connecting with clients. But on the second hand, we are seeing an increase in demand for coaching, which is fantastic for all of us.
Yeah, excellent. So with the, just going back to the marketing, and you said that the media has changed. So we're looking at the media. Are we looking at how coaching is perceived in the media, or specifically how we're getting a message out and what types of media we're using?
Yeah.
Which one do you reckon is the biggest change?
A lot of it's the latter, Steve. So as I said, you've been an old school marketer with gray hair and been around for a while. There's a couple of things that don't change. And those basic principles are, who's my audience? And what is my proposition? You know, we call it a unique selling proposition or your elevator pitch. You know, what value are you adding to your audience? Those things have not changed since day dot. Whenever marketing started hundreds and hundreds of years ago, it was, where are the buyers and what do they want? That has not changed. What has changed is how I get that message to the audience. And it's an interesting thing. And I suppose particularly what I feel is that because the media, i.e. social media, is so more accessible these days, you know, people building their own websites, doing their own advertising, it's very easy to potentially create the marketing. The question always is, though, am I marketing to the right audience and what message am I delivering? And that has not changed. In the old days, you know, you used to go to experts, supposedly advertising agencies, to work that out. Now many people do it themselves. Okay. What that means, though, is that we become very internally focused on our audience and our message. And I think a lot of people have difficulty in actually coming to a decision there, Steve.
Yeah, okay. So many different ways. Like, as you said, there's more awareness around coaching. People are actually starting to really look for coaching. And we've also got, on top of that, like you said, all these different multimedia and these media channels that we can easily access by ourselves. I guess that just opens up that there's so many options available that, do you think we'd have to be really, first of all, as you said, you know, quite specific on our marketing and our target audience, but then also fairly creative to stand out from the rest? Because I believe there's probably a lot of people trying to do the same thing. It's, how do we stand out?
Yeah, there is, Steve. You know, there's no question about that. And creativity will always win through. We call it cut through. What will cut through is make sure, again, you know, I probably sound like a broken record for anyone who remembers what records were, talking about new media. But, you know, if you know where your audience is listening or watching or viewing, it's still always important to make sure that the message resonates with them. What is my customer thinking? When you know what your customer's thinking, selling becomes easy. So being able to put yourself in the position of your customer, and recently people will know, have been doing our program, I've been talking a lot about trying to define an audience or a target market, which is an inch wide and a mile deep. An inch wide means very targeted, and a mile deep means there's lots of them. So it's obviously market potential there. And it will come down to understanding the message. And then the creativity is the third part of that equation, Steve. Okay. The other thing that's also important is consistency. You know, many people change stuff a lot. But if you've got a consistent value proposition, it allows you to be more creative along the same theme, if that makes sense. But one of the key things is people have to make a decision. And what I see most is people being a little bit indecisive about their market that they're choosing to be in and the type of coaching they want to do. I think there's almost a fear of missing out. You know, if I say I'm only going to coach left-handed people, you know, in Queensland, they worry, well, I'll never be able to coach anyone else. And that's not how marketing works. What we need to do is we need to define our target audience so that we can define our single message. But of course, other areas of the market will come as well, because that left-handed person in Queensland that you might happen to be coaching might know a right-handed person in Sydney, and they'll go, hey, I reckon you should coach this person. And of course, you're open to that. Okay. But that's the toughest thing people get, is actually making that decision about what my target audience is and being comfortable to stick to it and assessing their ability to actually create clients in that space before they want to change. Okay. Because, you know, we know coaching, you can pretty much coach anyone if you're a good coach. But, and that's what worries people. Oh, what about these people? What about these people? What about these people? Yeah, they come. But again, try to be focused. Try to be focused on what you actually want to achieve out of the particular marketplace. Okay. You know, it's classic in marketing sense. And you look at the car brands is probably the most obvious, Steve. You know, we know that, for example, like a BMW brand has always been supposedly about the driving experience. Okay. So a lot of their marketing is for people who love their cars. Okay. Volvo was always about safety. Okay.
Yep. The, you know, tweed jacket, patches on the elbows, safety, correct. Safety. Yeah. Being a mechanic, I've seen and heard the lot of these.
Absolutely. And, you know, maybe like a Toyota was around about being reliable, Steve, you know, and just being easy to service and just reliable all the time. And so what they do is they just say, this is my target audience and this is what I stand for. And that's the number one thing that coaches find difficult to do, I think. But it is a basic principle. Once you've got that, you can then go, okay, well, how do I communicate that message via Facebook, via LinkedIn, via Twitter, via email database, via whatever it might be, once you start to understand those principles. But you've got to know who you're targeting is the number one thing.
Yeah, so get that target, get it locked in, and then stick with it for the journey. Not change it every, you know, like you said, too often. It's, you know, if you're constantly changing, how are you going to build that market? How are you going to build that, you know, following, so to speak?
Absolutely. And the other thing that gets people stuck is thinking everything has to be ready and perfect before they actually launch their business. That's another challenge, Steve, you know. Well, I can't, you know, I've got to get a website up, or I've got to get this, I've got to get that. You know, what I find for people starting their coaching business, the most likely source of clients that you will start off with will come from your own network. It will come from a network of people that you already know. And so you don't necessarily need a website to do that. You don't need a logo. You don't need, you know, your graphic designer on board. You just need to know what you stand for and start talking to people, Steve. Start communicating with people at the beginning, okay? And the other stuff can come, okay? But if you know that, just start your network and build your network, you know? Set some goals. Set some strategy. Get your database. You know, there's a principle called Dunbar's principle, I think it is, and it says you can only really connect with or communicate with around about 150 people. Okay, so I've been working with some clients to go, well, what's your database of 150? Go to your LinkedIn, go to your Facebook, go to your mobile phone and identify potentially 150 prospects that might exist in your current network. And if you don't have 150, you've only got 100 or 80, that's okay. Then we start to think about how do we add to that? So then you set a goal every week and go, how do I add 5 names to my database every week? Or how do I add 10 names? Now, that could be from networking events. It could be from your advertising and your marketing, you know, your likes on Facebook or responses to your newsletter or that. But how am I continuing to add to my network? Okay. And that provides a really focused space. And you're cleaning that out as well. Okay. But that is actually the focus, is who's my audience? What do I stand for? And how do I get my message and create that core network that I can start to market to?
Yeah. Networking. And that's, I hear it come up time and time again, and there's been numerous times that, like you said, from a network, somebody will come in and like, hey, I hear you're a coach, things like this. I think the power of networking is something that is ultimately can make a business absolutely thrive and get off the ground if you have that strong network in the background. I've been through quite a few industries, and networking in every single one of them, regardless what the industry is, like automotive, fitness, PT, you know, presenting on health and well-being, there's always been a strong network that's been behind those you know, industries I've worked in and on.
And Steve, as coaches, trained coaches, we should be in the best position to build our networks, because building networks is about having conversations. And importantly, yes. And importantly, even within that, Steve, it's about asking questions. Now, last time I looked at Coaching 101, we're pretty much taught the skills of asking open-ended questions, asking powerful questions, and active listening. So if we can apply the skills that we do when we're in a coaching session out in the marketplace, okay, and be networking with people, asking open-ended questions, being interested in what they're saying, okay, continuing with questions and listening, we will build rapport. Once we build rapport, that person has a greater potential to become part of our database. So I know many people get a bit fearful of marketing or sales. A lot of people, because for many coaches, they've never been in their own business before. They've never had to be in sales. And so sometimes I think it helps just to reframe this. So rather than thinking, oh my gosh, I've got to sell, or I'm no good at sales, or I've got this marketing stuff, you know, it's, you know, steak knives and all that sort of stuff, Steve, okay? Rather than think that, just reframe it and go, I have to have conversations, okay? I have to have conversations with people. And even in my marketing that I'm doing online, I'm having a conversation. I'm asking questions. I'm providing solutions and answers. And so build, that's all that marketing is. Marketing is having a conversation. And as coaches, we should all be very skilled at that and being able to actually ask what's important for our clients. So it is important, I think, to reframe, Steve, because it does, a lot of people are very fearful of the sales and marketing part of their business.
Yeah, that's a great tip. And that actually leads right into the next part where I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. So top three tips for someone starting out in a coaching business. So they've just made the decision, hey, you know what? I want to make this a real thing for me. I want to start my own business. What's your top three tips for that person?
Well, obviously top of my list is going to be that marketing basics, which is target audience and unique selling proposition. What value do I add? That's number one.
Yeah.
Number two is put yourself out there. Okay. You've got to put yourself out there. You've got to start to build your brand. Okay. That means connecting at events, going to events, okay, or networking at top events. It means having a presence on your Facebook, your LinkedIn. You've got to put your message out there, okay? And creating that brand is, in effect, you want to almost be seen as an expert, Steve, in that particular space. So let's think of it this way from a traditional marketing sense. Steve, you're about to go out this weekend and buy a, you know, 75-centimeter TV, okay? Big screen TV. And you're going to go out and you're going to go traditional, you're going to go retail shopping. Okay. You, like most people, will probably have two or three brand company retailers in mind if I mention big screen TVs.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm thinking, you know, Sharp, Samsung, LG, they're sort of the top three.
So you've got brands straight away. Okay. And even when it comes to retailers, where might you go and see these, Steve? What retailers might you visit?
Straight up, first thing that jumps to my head is like JB Hi-Fi.
Yep, great. Okay, and there might be JB Hi-Fi, it might be Harvey Norman, it might be Joyce Meyer, okay? All those sorts of things. Most people have what we call a consideration set of two or three, just like you've done with your TVs, just like you've done with your retailers. So our job is to get on people's shopping list so that when they think about a coach, we're in that one, two, or three. Oh, I need a coach. Oh, I've heard it. You know, Steve Taylor, Craig Levitt, Kath McKenzie. And so that's where the branding becomes really important, is you want to get in terms of the consideration set. That's number two. Okay, so number one is your target audience and your USP. Number two is build your brand. Okay, get your brand out there. You have to be out there. You have to be active. You have to stretch your comfort zone. to be in places and do things to get your name out there. Number three. Always has to be three, Steve, doesn't it? Number three.
Okay. It does have to be three because the rule of three.
Okay, number three. Okay, from a business perspective, and most coaches don't do this, ask for referrals. Okay. Ask for referrals from your database. Many, even when I started off, I'd be scared of doing that. But the most likely, I started at the beginning by your business is mostly going to come from your network. And so there's a huge opportunity for your other parts of your business to come from other people's networks. So ask for referrals. Be upfront and ask for referrals.
Networks on networks.
It makes
sense.
Absolutely. And, you know, rather than going, and people are uncomfortable, do you know anyone else who wants a coach? Well, you know, you've got to be specific. And the best thing I learned was from a guy who's an older guy who'd been a salesman for many, 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 many years. And he said, when it comes to referrals, he said, here's your tip. Okay. Your tip is this. Okay. You got to be specific when you ask the question. So I'd say, Steve, you know, do you know anyone out there? Let's say I'm coaching, you know, my market small business owners. Okay. And you're a small business owner. Say, Steve, any other of your friends or, you know, the people that you know are small business owners, you know, recently just mentioned, man, I wish I had more time and more money. Do you know any other small business owners like that?
I reckon I could probably walk out the door right now and find five straight off the bat that would resonate with that.
Correct. So what I've done is, Steve, I've used your reticular activating system to actually focus in. So rather than me going, hey, Steve, do you know anyone who wants a business coach? Okay, which is very broad. I'm saying, Steve, do you know anyone that you know, any small business owners that you know, friends otherwise, who've recently been saying, you know, oh, they really want more time or, you know, or more money, or they're really feeling that their business is potentially getting to a size now where they're just not sure how to grow it, or, you know, maybe they're frustrated that the business hasn't been growing as much as they'd wanted to in the last 12 months, any of those questions. But what that does is that taps your reticular activating system, Steve, which allows you to go, oh, yeah, there's my mate Pete who runs the mechanic shop down the road. He's only just been saying how, you know, business is booming. He doesn't know how he's going to cope with his growth. Boom, straight away, as opposed to, do you know anyone who wants a coach? Okay, does that make sense? Yeah, absolutely. You're really trying to target and help get your client to use their reticular activating system to think of people that they know. And then you just go, great, what's their name, Steve? Fantastic. What's their contact number? Great. Steve, you know, I'd love to give, you know, Peter a call in a week or so. Would you be okay maybe just to give him a heads up and say to maybe expect a call from me, you know, in the next week?
Yeah, that's easy. That's a really nice way to get into that referral system. And I can see in there, like, you're not selling me the coaching. You're selling me the results.
Correct.
Which is, you know, because coaching can go, as we know as coaches, can go anywhere. And it's hard to sell something that's not specific.
Yeah.
But when as soon as you said, do you want more time? Do you want more money? Are you looking to, you know, expand your business and you're not sure how to do it? Those are really clear results. And it's sort of like, hang on a minute, that resonates 100%.
Yeah.
I don't need to know about coaching. I don't need to know what a coach does, but I know that I want those results.
Correct.
So that was a really nice way. And I think that's part of the creativity that you were mentioning earlier as well.
Yeah. And it can happen in so many different spaces, Steve. So it could be, oh, do you know anyone that's, you know, not happy with their job and they've been thinking of changing career? Oh, Steve, do you know anyone that, you know, is been a bit uncertain or maybe a bit, you know, in their relationship, you know, and they're just not sure about that. They want to, their relationship isn't as strong as they want it to be. Oh, Steve, you know, do you know anyone that is thinking of starting a business? Oh, Steve, do you know anyone who's been just saying that they've just been moved into a new roles and, you know, they don't necessarily have a lot of confidence in their leadership abilities? See how you can target that to whatever your strengths are, and you're asking questions of your customers or even within your network to try to get them to focus on your audience for you.
Yeah, no, that's some really good stuff. And I hope every one of our listeners is going to rewind the last 20 seconds and probably write down those questions that you had there and use them for themselves, because that's really, really cool. So the final thing, just to put you on the spot, I'm going to put you in a scenario here, Craig, and I want to see what you would do. So if you were to start a small coaching business tomorrow from absolute scratch, I've thrown it at you. I've said, hey, Craig, tomorrow you need to start your own coaching business. What is the first thing that you would do? Or maybe have a meltdown or freak out and go, why am I in this situation? How did I get here? But after that, the first thing that you would do?
I would decide what I am passionate about. What is the value that I want to add that I'm passionate about, Steve? That's number one. Okay, because I know that sounds, and that's not necessarily an easy thing, but, you know, am I passionate about helping people achieve goals? Am I passionate about helping people become better leaders? Am I passionate about helping small business owners? Am I passionate about executives? You know, am I passionate about people having great relationships? Am I passionate about people finding their life purpose? What is it that drives your passion? Because that will allow you your own truth to come through, Steve. It will allow you to be the expert because it's something that you believe in and you're passionate about yourself. You know, I think anyone who's in any business, they've got to believe in what they're selling.
Yeah, absolutely.
They've got to have belief. And the strongest way to have belief is to have that passion. You know, for my, you know, I've done lots of different coaching over the years and I have a particular passion now. And well, I've had this passion for quite a while because I got coaching when I was in my mid 40s. So I'm passionate about what I call midlife breakthrough, helping people in that category go through life change. That is my absolute passion. I could coach people 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on that. I love it. Absolutely love it. And that's where I think I'll be able to add value as well, because it's something that I'm just so passionate about. So, yeah, find your passion and connect your passion with your coaching value. That's the number first thing to do, Steve.
Yeah, excellent. And that's, I think, that passion underlying everything else we've spoken about today and coaching businesses and all businesses. I think passion is one word and a great starting point. It's the old saying, if you enjoy what you do, you'll never work a day in your life. It's that passion that drives business and drives innovation to always seek those better results, that better final product. I think you can, any of our listeners, be able to think of a couple of different businesses that are similar products, but there's a big difference because one is passionate about what they do, and perhaps another one is just doing it for a financial gain.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of examples that we can think about. This has been a really enlightening chat, and there's some really great practical things that you come up with that we now see, even in this world as it changes, there are still those fundamentals. But how we go about it in that marketing space, in building our own businesses, is a little bit of a factor that we can change, we have control of. And essentially, I think, to step past those fears, to go out and to do it, it actually doesn't seem so hard anymore.
That's nice that you say that, Steve. Yeah. Again, I suppose that's the thing, is if there's something you believe in, it's a lot easier to wake up every day and start to talk about that to the world and help people and just have those conversations. Start having conversations about your value and your subject matter with people. That all starts with that.
Excellent. And that's a fantastic note. So we're going to wrap it up here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. And tune in next week and as we bring you another Fire Up Coaching podcast with more information, some really great interviews, and have a great week from everyone at Fire Up. Have fun. See you, Craig.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you for listening to the Fire Up Coaching podcast. If you would like more information on coaching, becoming a qualified coach, or want to experience the power of coaching, call us on 1-300-FIRE-UP or head on over to the website fireupcoaching.com.au, where you will also find access to more amazing podcasts that will help you fire up, level up, and ignite the potential within.